Welcome to High Ticket Woman, the podcast for Christian women who are relationship challenged, and they know that to make changes, it starts with them wanting more, expecting more, and becoming more. Here's your host, Debbie Cottle. The only constant in life is change. Or so said the Greek philosopher Heraclitus. Yet change is a scary and difficult thing for so many of us. Welcome to another episode of High Ticket Woman. Today is all about how to stay high ticket, how to stay high value, even though everything in your life may feel like it's changing or falling apart or in complete chaos. Even though you may feel stressed, overwhelmed, uncertain, and completely terrified of the future, is there a way for you to still have peace of mind, to still be content, to even actually be happy? Yeah, absolutely there is. You know, 6 years ago, my world was falling apart. I had set in motion what turned out to ultimately lead to divorce. And I had no idea that was the path I was going to end up on. What I was attempting to do was be open and transparent with my husband at the time about some serious marital problems we were having. I didn't want to just sweep them under that proverbial rug. I knew they had to be addressed head on. But in doing so, I couldn't imagine or foresee the events that would take place. I had no control over them. And what I set in motion took on a life of its own in a way that I was unprepared for emotionally, financially, physically, you name it. You know, on last week's episode, if you listened to that, I had the most fun interviewing my husband, Jeff, and I'm going to get him back on the podcast one of these days. But, you know, he said something that made me realize I need to address this in a podcast episode. He said, and it was the first time I'd ever actually heard him say this to me, he said he was attracted to my positivity, even though I was going through a divorce, that I radiated this inner happiness. And that confused him because he wasn't feeling that inside himself. He felt like a failure coming out of his divorce, even though it had already been 6 years. And yet I was only months into my separation. And he couldn't understand how I could be so happy, so positive. And so that comment that he made last week on the episode, it made me really reflect on why that was so true about me, because I was happy and I was hopeful. I was positive. So it made me really think about why I was feeling those things, even though it was just a handful of months. I think it's really relevant to talk about this today because I think Heraclitus is right. Change is inevitable. And I think that because of what I do for a living, because I work with people all the time who are going through change, I think this is something that I am really aware of, you know, that life truly is a journey of ups and downs and twists and turns and unpredictability. We have detours and roadblocks and open doors and closed doors in our lives. We have change. And I think sometimes we wish that we could predict what's going to happen in our lives. You know, if we could just look into the future and know ahead of time what we're going to face, then, well, surely we could be prepared for it, right? No surprises. You know, interestingly, I saw a movie one time. I don't remember the name, but it was written based on that premise, you know, being able to predict the future. And interestingly enough, the guy who could tell the future in the movie kept anticipating the way his partner would react in situations. And it just took all the spontaneity and joy out of the relationship because he always knew what was coming. So he would try to preempt things, you know, prevent bad things that he knew that were coming from happening. Or he'd interrupt conversations, situations. He'd try to circumnavigate things. And it ultimately broke them up. I think about that sometimes in my own life. You know, I really don't want to know the future. Not in that way. I don't want to excessively worry about it either. I just want to have the courage to face whatever is ahead of me. So when I look back 6 years ago to where I was and why I was happy, it comes down to a few things. It comes down to how I handled the transition from being married to separated to divorced to single and ultimately to being remarried. Because again, the only thing guaranteed in your life is that you are going to go through transitions. Transitions tell us that something is changing and that we're moving from something we know and are familiar with to something we potentially aren't. And transition implies that now we have to do something different. We have to take some sort of action. We have to move forward or let go of something or someone. That might mean letting go of something or someone that we valued very much or still do. Something that was or is very, very important to us. A relationship, a situation, a job. And that whatever we're moving towards might be completely unfamiliar, a complete unknown, which makes it scary. And we can resist change for that reason. We can dig our heels in, or we can stress out about it, or even catastrophize in our mind about what lies ahead. So today I'm going to talk to you about 6 stages that we go through in transition. We're going to go through these 6 stages, and I'm going to talk to you about how I dealt with each of those stages, because I moved through them quicker than probably the average person. So that first stage of transition is loss. When I was going through my separation and ultimately divorce, I felt a lot of loss because, you know, my marriage wasn't all bad. There were happy times. There were plenty of good memories. There was fun. There was laughter. And yeah, there was even love. And when you go through something as devastating as a breakup or divorce, and if you've been through that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your brain wants to pull you back to those memories. Your brain wants to dwell on the things that will never be again. And it can be hard to move away from that. But if we don't grieve that loss properly, if we don't go through the stages of grieving, another episode for another day, but yeah, if we don't go through those stages of grief, then we don't recover from the loss in a healthy way. And sometimes it can feel like we don't have time to deal with that loss because life is just continuing on. I have to keep working. I have to keep showing up in my day-to-day life. I have to keep parenting. I have to whatever, dot, 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 right? And it may just feel like we don't have time to grieve, or we don't want to feel all those emotions that go along with grieving. So maybe we try to distract ourselves from the loss. We might do that by oversleeping, by watching too much TV, by drinking too much, by hanging out with friends more than we need to. Always an attempt to push away those feelings that we're struggling with. You know, I remember feeling a lot of fear around that loss, wondering, am I walking away? Am I giving up something that I'll never have again? Because you see, I was the one who asked for the separation. I wanted to work on the marriage. I wanted us to get help, but I wanted to do that while separated. But the way my husband reacted to that made me just feel awful. And it made me second guess and doubt that decision. It also made me reflect on whether or not I was asking for the right thing. And that leads to the second stage of transition, which is uncertainty. Am I making the right decision? Is this change that I'm making the right change? Or is it a change that I'm being forced to make? What's the future going to hold? What if the future isn't better than what I have right now? I definitely experienced a lot of that kind of uncertainty, and it was agonizing. I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up in the wee hours of the morning and start crying. I'd go to work but not be able to focus, to the point that my boss was getting annoyed with me. He'd tell me to go walk it off, so I would. I'd grab my earbuds, change my shoes, and I'd go for a 15-minute walk, maybe longer, listen to music and try to shift my mood, because I felt so much anxiety around the uncertainty of everything. But the thing is, we have to deal with this uncertainty. We have to face it head on. We can't embrace the future, whatever lies ahead, something new, something different, without going through and embracing the uncertainty first. And that uncertainty brings discomfort. And that's the third stage of transition. It's not fun to have your entire life turned upside down, even if you're the one who nudged it in that direction. My husband and I, when we separated, we still lived under the same roof. We just ended up being in separate bedrooms because we were in a foreign country when this happened, and there was really no way for us to get separate housing. So our separation wasn't a true separation. But we definitely, as time went by, became like just roommates that didn't even really talk. I knew he was hurting and angry. It was palpable, but he had shut down on me and pushed me out. I kept hoping that once we were back in the US, we could get some professional help, but there were no guarantees that would happen or that it would fix us. So it was an incredibly awkward and painful time trying to navigate around each other's emotions, all while living and working in a foreign environment, and all the time thinking, I don't even know who this person is anymore. The way they're talking to me, the way they're treating me, the way they're ignoring me, responding to me, all of that seemed foreign too. So yeah, we go through loss and we go through uncertainty and we go through discomfort, and we don't like to be uncomfortable. And that uncomfortable feeling, as a result, it can often pull us back to the familiar. So we can go back to situations that maybe weren't good for us or right for us, because we don't like that discomfort. Or that discomfort can keep us from actually making the change that needed to happen, because that unfamiliar is so scary. But you know, if we push through the discomfort, then we can get to the fourth stage of transition, which is insight. Insight is huge, because the more uncomfortable you're willing to get or to let yourself be, the more you learn about yourself, about your situation, about your relationship, about that other person. When I was going through my separation, one of the most helpful things for me was prayer, talking to God. And you know, I've talked about this before. My relationship with God grew substantially during this transition, because I didn't have anybody else to really talk to about this. I had a couple young friends who were in Jordan with us at the time, one in particular that I was able to talk to a lot, but I couldn't talk to family. They weren't there, and there was a significant time difference, which made it hard to call them. And besides all that, my husband and I had agreed not to tell family in those early days of our separation, so we didn't. Besides, I was still hoping we could still fix this, so I didn't want to make this a big public thing. But that meant we were both bottling up a lot of emotion. So I would pray. I'd get up early in the morning, partly because I wasn't sleeping well, and I would go walking up and down the steep streets of Amman, Jordan, the city where we were working. It was still dark out. It was just me and some Muslim men heading to morning prayer. And it was during this stage of my transition that I began to really feel and know that God loved me, that God cared about me, that no matter what the future looked like, no matter how uncertain the future was, whether my marriage was going to fail or get fixed, I didn't know, but that either way, I was going to be okay. I could trust God with my future. I could let go of that uncertainty because he was going to take care of it. And I knew that God had my very best interests at heart. So whatever he had in store for me, whatever plan he had for me, it would be in my very best interests. If that meant being single for the rest of my life, part of my prayer to God was, help me be okay with that. Help me to embrace that, to not fight against that. And you know, that insight that I got in knowing that I had that kind of value in God's eyes, that God loved me, that whatever mistakes I had made in my marriage, I could learn from them. I could change those things about me, and then I could pick up the pieces and I could learn to be whole again. That was huge for me, that insight. You know, one of the other things that I did that helped give me clarity is that once I did return from Jordan back to the US, I got myself right into therapy. And that really helped me also to sort out how much of the problem in my marriage was me, how much of it was soon to be my ex-husband. What did I have control over changing? What did I not have control over? What were the solutions moving forward? What things would I have to learn to accept? What would I have to let go of? And you know, I was in therapy almost 8 months. So I didn't make any real decisions about my life in that time frame, because I needed to know for certain what direction my life was going to take. What was my husband going to do? Was he going to reconcile with me or not? I didn't make any emotionally based decisions about money or anything. We had divided the money when we left Jordan, but I just parked it. I didn't go out and make some big purchases to feel better about myself, because I was looking to the long-term future. I mean, we might still work this out. We might come back together, and that money would be part of that future. So I waited. And that's an important thing when you're going through a big transition, because so much of the time what I see with women is that before that transitionary period is over, they've already jumped into another relationship with another man. They've already moved in with him. They're already sleeping with him. They're already, you name it, right? The worst possible things you can do, because you haven't given yourself time to deal with the loss. You don't have the insight yet. Because you see, that insight that you need to have, it moves you towards that fifth stage of transition, which is understanding. And understanding can take a while. We don't get it all at once. Sometimes it can take years. It's a very long process to understand why things happen in a certain way, why we had to go through something so difficult, so painful. And I can't tell you how many times I've looked back over my shoulder and gone, oh, that's why, whatever it was, that's why it happened the way it did. Now I get it. Now I understand. But at the time I didn't. At the time I was just confused and hurting. You know, for me, what helped me to get that insight and ultimately that understanding that I needed was just to keep myself really, really busy. I'm a very future-focused person. I don't tend to be somebody who looks back over my shoulder a lot and then dwells on the past. Although when you go through something like this, you can't help but spend some time mentally in the past, right? Because the future is such an unknown. And part of getting understanding is asking yourself, why did this happen? Why did he do what he did? Why did I do what I did? Why did it turn out this way? Why did we both react in completely different ways to this situation? And there are often no immediate answers. But again, over time, we find clarity, and that clarity helps us to understand. But in the meantime, as I was going through all that, even though I was asking those questions, I kept myself busy. I focused on my business. I looked to the future. I got very, very intentional, because you know I'm a big believer in this, right? So I got really intentional about the kind of woman I wanted to be, that high ticket woman I wanted to be, and the kind of life that I wanted to live with or without a man. And then I got busy moving myself in that direction. And that took me finally to that final stage, which is integration. Integrating all the things that you've processed and learned through your transition, and then applying that new knowledge to who you want to be and where you want to go from here, is so, so critical, because otherwise we're potentially doomed to make all the same mistakes again. And if that's a pattern in your life, if you keep picking the wrong kind of men or having the same kinds of problem with men, It's possibly because you've never allowed yourself to go through a transitionary period completely before jumping back in again, before you were ready. This final stage of integration, it's how you know you are ready. You're not anxious anymore, or much. You're not dwelling on the past with sadness or depression or anger or resentment. Sure, there may be pockets of these emotions that come up briefly because we all get triggered, right? But they don't last long. So there you have it, the six stages of transition. So yeah, when I think about what I was projecting to everyone, including Jeff, as I went through my own transition, it's true. I was projecting positivity because I was feeling positive 5-6 months into the separation. And sure, my emotions were still a little bit roller coaster-ish, you know, in my private, quiet times. But what I was feeling predominantly was, again, hope, passion, positivity, even excitement about what lay ahead, especially when it came to my business. I believed wholeheartedly that what lay ahead of me was better than what lay behind. And I think I was able to feel so much happier, so much sooner than most people feel when they go through something like this, because I went through these stages really quickly. I mean, in the space of 2 to 3 months. Why? I did the work and I knew what work to do. I didn't run from it. I sat in the difficult emotions. I reflected, I journaled, I prayed, I talked it out with God, with my therapist, with a small handful of friends. I even had to write about it to be released from my marriage by my church. I was given lots of opportunities to process what happened, and I seized every one. And because I am so future-oriented, I don't let the past get stuck to me. You know, the past can be something that clings to us, right? And we just can't seem to, no matter how much we try to fling it off of us, it's like it just is glommed onto us and now we're carrying it around everywhere we go. But I'm not somebody who does that. I'm very much a person who's like, okay, it happened. It wasn't fun. What did I learn from it? Now move forward. That's not the easiest thing for some people to do, but it is possible. Here's my final thought. One of the most important things that you take with you through every transition, really the only thing you take with you, is you. Who you are and what you've learned goes with you through every change you make in life, through every transition you go through. Everything else is just stuff that happens. People come and go. Jobs come and go. Money comes and goes. Health challenges can come and go, right? Lots of things come and go, but you, who you are, the essence of you, stays with you. And when all that other stuff is gone, what's left over is who you are, who you've become. And that is what is essentially important. Until next episode, ladies, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to go grab your free guide to my 10-step relationship rescue roadmap. Also, there's a tab on my website now with all kinds of other freebie resources. Go check that out, debbiecottle.com. You'll see at the top under resources, you'll see freebies. Go check those out. And I'll see you next week on next week's episode. For more episodes, just go to debbiecottle.com. And while you're there, get your free copy of my guide, 10-Step Relationship Rescue Roadmap.